on this sunny day. Have we got any Man United fans in the house? Where are you, Steve? Unlucky. It's good to bring the Man United fans back down. Yeah, they have, but just as they thought they were on this unbeaten streak by Wolves. Anyway, my name is Mark. For those of you who don't know me, I'm married to the lovely Laura, who was sitting here. She's probably dealing with the kids. We've got two boys, Matthew and Josh. And we live on Gurnell Grove Estate, just down the road opposite the Leisure Centre. And we moved there a couple of years ago to plant a new worshipping community, and we are absolutely loving it. We're having a great time. It is a roller coaster of ups and downs, and we're getting to see God do some amazing things. Last Friday, we had bingo church. It was a lot of fun. After the service, ask me about bingo church, because I'd love to tell you all about it, but now is not the time. I want to start, actually, by sharing a little highlight of the Grove, and I'm going to show you a video, but before I show you a video, I just want to give you a bit of context. So some of you might know, probably most of you don't know actually, I'm in a band called Urban Praise Project, and yeah, got a little woo, yes, the vicar's wife, and we recorded some music videos on our estate, and actually we had a beautiful moment on our estate with the guys, because what we did is we got different guys from the estate to act in this song, and what they acted out was different kind of gritty things. Really as a prophetic sign of handing over the gritty things to God so he could come and bring in transformation into our estate. That is why we are there. We want to see God's kingdom come onto the Grove, see lives transformed and changed into the image of God. And so the song is called My Everything. And the chorus goes like this. I give my everything because everything is what you give to me. I'm on the edge, no going back, because this is where I want to be. This is my song to you from the depths within my heart. For everything you've done, I'm giving you my everything. And as I said, you know, we're acting out prophetically the things that we want to hand over. And as we worship God and give him our everything, of course we give him the good things, but we need to hand over the harder things. So enjoy the song, the video. Maybe we could have the lights off as well. And if the Lord is good, then the video will work. And he is always good. There you go. Thank you. I'm giving you my everything. It was a really beautiful day, and I'm really proud of the guys from the Grove, the way they got stuck in. Obviously, none of them are actors, and they really threw themselves in, but it really did feel like a prophetic moment that, you know, these are the guys who live on the estate and prophetically are saying, we are going to hand over everything. We're going to hand over all this stuff that's going to happen, and God is going to bring transformation. Now, sometimes, when you get given a passage to speak on, oh, the lights are on, panic stations hit. And that's because you have no idea what that passage is about, and you have to do all this research and Google stuff and find out what on earth is being said. Today is not one of those passages. Today is a passage that I love. I'm really, really glad to be asked to speak on this. I'm really excited. I'm sure you can tell by the way I'm speaking already. I'm really, really excited. You probably know the story well, the story of Joshua. So please don't turn off. It's not an excuse to turn off because you've heard the story. So why don't we just pray, because we're going to need it. So Father, I just pray, thank you for this amazing story of Joshua, who you call into leadership. And I just pray that you would meet and continue to speak in this part of the service. Come and have your way. And everyone said, amen. What do you do when you're feeling overwhelmed? Like, what's your go-to when you're feeling stretched? When you've got a lot of things going on? When you feel like you're at the end of your tether? Maybe you go for a run. You've got any runners here? I know Jason runs. He's always running. Maybe you stick a film on or watch Netflix. Maybe you just have to hide away, grab a tea or a coffee and have some alone time. For me, it's football. I love football. And when life is being full, when I'm getting to the end of my tether, I have to get out and kick a ball. I have to get out. And my wife will tell you, I still don't know where my wife is because I was going to try and embarrass her, but my wife knows that if I'm feeling stressed, if I'm feeling stretched, I have to get out and kick a ball. And now, once a week on a Monday night, I have football where I go out and I can expend all the stress, all the energy, have a good run out, and that really, really helps. It really does help. Well, in the story we're looking at today, we find Joshua, who is under immense pressure. Someone who is probably feeling extremely stretched. And God has something to say about how we deal with pressure. How he should deal with pressure. And it's in the context of a really big story, a big narrative. There's lots of dynamics in play. There's lots of things going on. And I just want to recap some of the backstory, if you like, to remind us of this context. And so we go back to the character of Moses, the great Moses. He gets called by God and leads the people of God, the Israelites, out of slavery, out of Egypt. He then goes up to Mount Sinai, gets the Ten Commandments, and while that's happening, the people get bored. We know people can be fickle, and they start worshipping another god. This results then in the people wandering around the desert for 40 years until they finally are on the edge, on the verge of entering the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised them. Only for the great leader Moses to die. Great timing, I hear you say. Great timing. And in our story, we find Joshua being called by God to take over from Moses and be the leader of Israel. Now that is pressure. Here we find a man in a stretching situation. Here we find a man under a lot of pressure. I wonder how he felt when his great leader Moses died. His mentor passed. And then to be in this situation where God says, son, it's your turn now. Your turn to step up and lead. Now Joshua, he's human, right? I'm sure he had feelings of inadequacy. Feeling like he's not good enough. Like he doesn't have enough in him. Moses was the man, right? He's like a hero of the faith. He was the guy who did all these amazing miracles. Obviously, God did it through him, but he was the guy who helped part the Red Sea. He was the guy who met God at the burning bush. He was the guy who went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and get his hair whited out and his face glowing, just like we see in the film, The Ten Commandments, back in the day. Has anyone seen that film? Yes, some of you. Phew! Moses was and still is a legend. And now God is asking Joshua to fill the legend's boots. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've had to step up, where you've had to take a leap of faith. A situation where you feel like you've been put under a lot of pressure, where you've been stretched, maybe given more responsibility. Maybe this has happened at work, where you've been given a new role with extra responsibility. Maybe becoming a parent for the first time, I remember that. Boy, that was a lot of pressure. Still is a lot of pressure. I'm sure we've all experienced different pressure moments in our life. We might even be in a pressurized moment right now, thinking, and when's this guy going to hurry up so I can go deal with this stuff I've got to deal with? Well, life is full of pressures. And in the passage today, God gives Joshua and us keys to success on how to deal with pressure. God gives us an insight, if you will, of what to do when the pressure is on. And the first bit of advice is this: God keeps his promises. Say that with me. God keeps his promises. And in verse 3, God assures Joshua that what he promised Moses, he promises him. You see, there's this amazing promise that God is going to lead his people to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm sure Joshua is thinking, is this still going to happen? We've been wandering for 40 years and our great leader is now dead. And God is saying, Moses, I've promised you guys that this is going to happen. And the promise is still staying true. It's still going to happen. I am God. My word is my bond. Don't worry. The Bible, in fact, is full of promises. Full of amazing promises that actually we can easily forget. Maybe today we need a reminder of some of those promises. Are you feeling weak? At the end of your tether? He gives you strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Do you need any wisdom on anything that's going on in your life? Well, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Maybe you're feeling like you don't really have a plan or a purpose in life. Well, God's saying to you this morning, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Are you feeling chained up with something at the moment? So the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Are you feeling ashamed? You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. These are just some of the amazing promises that God has for us. The second bit of advice that God gives to Joshua and us on how to deal with pressure is this: God is with you. Say that with me. God is with you. And so in verse 5, God says to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I, not Mark Tate, for I, God, will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail or abandon you. So not only will God keep his promises, but he promises to be with you. He promises to be with Joshua, like he was with Moses. And the same is true for us. It's actually really important and a good reminder for us to know and remember that God is with us. I don't know about you, but in the busyness of life, I can kind of forget that God is with me and crack on and get on and do my own thing, build my own castle. But it's like God is saying to Joshua, mate, this isn't about you. This is about me. It wasn't actually about Moses. It was about me. And this takes the burden off our shoulders. This relieves the pressure, because we have the maker of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is with us. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But sometimes I feel like I'm going to put on the burden myself anyway and carry it with him instead of handing it over to him. I think it's something that we can easily forget and something to easily walk in in the light of that God is with us. It's actually ironic that Moses made a big issue when he was called by God. He said, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I don't have the skills. I'm not a very good speaker. And the thing that God kept on saying to Moses was, it's all right. I'm with you. Yeah, but I can't do it. It's all right, son. I'm with you. And it's like he keeps going back to this point. I'm with you, Moses. I am with you. And I remember a time when we were trying to move on to the estate where I started to put the burden on my shoulders and forget that actually it's all about God and about him and that he was with me. And that's because we felt really called to Gurnell Grove, but we didn't have any money and couldn't really afford to move in to an estate, even though it's an estate in the top 10% of deprivation. Like, it's in Ealing, we're in West London, it's expensive. We didn't have enough money to really rent there, and we definitely didn't have enough money to buy a flat. But we did know that God said, well, I want you to move there. So we started to pray, and through God's amazing provision, we were able to get a bunch of money together to get a deposit down on a flat. I'm feeling really, really excited. A flat came up, and we visited the flat. As soon as we got in there, I was like, this is the place we're going to be in. I don't care what anyone says. I know God is saying this is the place. So we went to the bank and we got the mortgage approved, sent the offer in, the offer got accepted. The Lord is good, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But then I get a phone call from the bank saying, we've actually messed up your mortgage. Really, really sorry, but we can't offer you the mortgage that you've got. We're going to have to offer it, I think, 10 or 12 grand less. And so we had to withdraw the offer. And at this point, I was feeling extremely stressed, extremely frustrated, because we'd been waiting for a flat to become available for ages. This was like the first one in a year that had become available, and it was starting to slip away. And the estate agent said, really sorry, it's going back on the market. Went back on the market, someone else bid. Offer's been accepted. They phoned me up and said, look, Mark, really sorry, but you're going to have to wait for another flat. This is going to move ahead. I then do a prayer walk around the estate, and I'm feeling quite annoyed with God. I'm like, are you listening up there, son? Oh, sorry. But I was feeling annoyed. And I walk outside the flat, and then I start crying like a baby, and I remember it because I was leaning up like this lamppost, and you know, I was like, oh, I can't believe it, I thought you said. I was crying, you know, so embarrassing. People walking by, what's this loser doing crying outside this lamppost? And then the next day, I get a phone call from the estate agent, and she says, Mark, at the moment, the other buyer isn't really going ahead and is stalling. I reckon if you could put an offer and match theirs, the sellers might take you on. And I was like, okay, we'll put the offer on. We didn't have the extra 10 grand that we needed, but I was like, just put it on. We'll get the money together. And so, amazingly, by God's provision, over that next week, the 10 grand comes in from like absolutely nowhere. We put the offer on. It goes down to the wire, but we end up getting the flat. And it was like, whoa, God is with you. It's not about you, Mark. It's about God. His promises are true. The next bit of advice that God gives to Joshua is this. Read the word. Say with me, read the word. He wants him to immerse himself in the scriptures. I mean, back then they didn't have the full Bible like we did now. We had the law that was given to Moses. But he tells Joshua, immerse yourself in the scriptures. In verse 7 he says this, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you, that God gave Moses. Do not deviate from them turning to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. He carries on. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate it on day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. Sounds like God's trying to make a point. Now, I don't think God is actually saying to Joshua and saying to us, I want you to literally read and meditate on the Bible all day long. Because that's kind of what he's saying. It's like all morning, all evening, study it, blah, blah, blah. That's not practical. Obviously, there'll be seasons where we might want to do that. But day-to-day life, we can't do that. But I think the point that God is making to Joshua is you need to prioritize reading this book. This book is for our good. It's for our good to read this book. If you want to know who God is, read the book. If you want God to speak to you, read the book. This book is like a guide to our life. It has divine principles. And God wants to speak to us and direct us. It's full of inspiring stories and full of divine wisdom. And it's a way that God speaks through his Spirit. He changes us, challenges us. So he wants us, and he wants Moses, and he wants Joshua to read the good book. The last bit of advice that God gives to Joshua and us on how to deal with pressure is this. Say with me. No, don't say with me. I'm going to get my Sam on this morning. That's Sam. Give us a wave, Sam. So I want you to sing with me the next point. Okay? Goes like this. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with me. Sing it. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with me. I am not afraid, no, 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 I am not dismayed, not me, because I'm walking in faith and victory, because I'm walking in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Woo! Well done, guys. Thank you, Sam, for that nugget. I've never done that before in a preach, but that is because of you. Okay. I'm coming into land here, and we're at the time. God says to Joshua three times in this passage, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. One more time. Be strong and courageous. In these nine verses, it's like God is giving Joshua a pep talk. It's like he's giving Joshua confidence, a big confidence boost, saying, you can do this, I got you, boy. Don't think about who Moses is, what he's done. Think about who I am. And I am, the great I am, is choosing you. You got this. It's too hard, God. You got this. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. But I can't do it, Lord. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, for I am with you. I don't have the skills. You got this. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. But I don't have the money. Be strong and courageous. I am with you, Joshua. I think another way of saying be strong and courageous is have faith. Have faith. You know, we sang in that song, because I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory. And he's saying to Joshua, come on, son, have faith. I'm with you. I keep my promises. We're going to do this. I've got you. Don't worry about it. What I want you to do is to have faith. I think sometimes we need to be people that can step out of the boat and walk on water. See what happens. Jesus is going to be there. He's by your side. He's not going to let go. But be strong and courageous. Amen.